Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you very much, Mr. Christopher Fritchie and the lady and gentleman of the band for setting us up this morning with our theme, Oneness. And good morning to you. You probably know as many people as I do who were affected by the recent rains and high waters in our area. And my heart certainly goes out to those people who had damage or loss to their homes and businesses. And I was very grateful to be able to check in with people from our center, like our president of the board, Anne Snyder, and her family, and also like our bookstore manager, Martha Salazar, and her fiance, Christina Rivera, and our communications officer, Alan Yeager, and our member, Bruce Gatter, and so many people. And it was also comforting to be able to confirm that they were okay and watch many people from our community checking themselves in as okay on Facebook. And I thought to myself, at times like these, I really do appreciate technology and how it allows us to do things, like how it can bring us together and help, let us help each other. And I celebrate that. I rejoice in that because it's one of the mysteries of life that a neutral thing like technology could be used for good, to connect us and to inform us, and that same technology can be used for bad, to divide us and confuse us. From the one comes many applications. That's the mystery of life. The source itself is neutral, and the application is where the variety comes in. And similarly, the creativity, the life that we are born into, born with, we might say it's neutral. It just is, until we put it into action. Then it can be used for good, to connect us and inform us. And it can also be used for bad, to divide us and to confuse us. That's our theme this month, oneness. And if you came in earlier on and picked up one of the cards, you'll be able to see all of the topics for this whole month and be reminded of the affirmation and the topic. The focus is how out of oneness comes infinite possibilities, both helpful and not so helpful. It's got to include everything. That's the way of things. And our affirmative statement is, and won't you read it with me, I seek the common good. And we can use this statement this month as we explore as a guiding light to remind us that along with our freedom comes choice. You can't have one without the other. And we can use this to remind ourselves so that we can ask ourselves, how will I use this life of mine? How will I use what has been made available to me, however that happened? How will I expand my life so that it goes beyond my personal needs? How will I use the potential of my life to seek the common good, to do the most good? How will I do that? You know, we just completed a whole month honoring Black history, and our focus was diversity and integrity. And so this month's topic, I see it as a natural progression. It's the next step. Now, let us talk about our common spiritual heritage. No, oneness is such an interesting topic, isn't it? I mean, it's not something you can pick up right away by looking at life. Just have a look around you. It's more likely that a person will notice life is filled up with differentness. Everything is unique. Uniqueness seems to be the standard of nature. And nothing stands still. Nothing is the same one moment to the other. So oneness is that spiritual reality that is hidden from view. And to keep things interesting, oneness is on the inside and diversity is on the outside. Oh dear. We're from the same parents, but we look and turn out differently. Now, when a person studies spirituality, it's normal to notice that there are these contradictions. There they are. We're different and we're the same. So a student of this metaphysics must be able to hold paradox. Otherwise, you'll go crazy. You know, you've got to be able to hold two seemingly contradictory things and hold them as valid at the same time, even though they contradict each other. Otherwise, you're not going to be happy. Yeah, you know, everything is essentially one, yet everything is different. Everything is in a state of constant change, and yet everything is fixed in that which never changes. Change is inevitable, yet reality is permanent. Everything comes from the same shared origin, and yet we have different ways and different cultures. Everything is from the same eternal truth, yet interpretation of that truth into life is infinitely variable, and on it goes. So perhaps it's easier to understand what oneness is to look at the idea of our interconnectedness. That will help. You know, like the well-known example from Chief Seattle, the gender-inclusive version. This we know. All things are connected like the blood which unites one family. Whatever befalls the earth, befalls the children of the earth. We did not weave the web of life. We are merely strands in it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. That's a good place to start. And it suggests to appreciate oneness then. We may have to go beyond the things that separate us. We may have to go beyond our differences. Even go beyond our unique cultures, our nationalities, beyond our political affiliations, even our gender, even our religion, and understand that what I do to you, I do to me. What I do to the planet now, I'm doing to the children of the next generation. And what I do to the animals, I'm doing to all life. And on it goes. It's a big, big topic. Now, the recommended book of the month, Beyond Religion, by His Holiness the Dalai Lama, is very helpful in sorting this out. And in chapter one, he starts with a very bold statement. He says, I'm a man of religion, but religion alone cannot answer all our problems. Well, now he explains what he means by it, and his explanation is very similar to our own teaching at the Center for Spiritual Living, here where we teach that divinity is the self-givingness of life to itself. Now what that means is that divinity, or God if you prefer that word, never withholds itself. It's equally available, evenly distributed, present always for everyone and anyone all of the time without exception. And what we do with it individually is what makes it personal and what turns it into the diversity that we experience. Now, he goes on to talk about it in his opening chapter. His Holiness the Dalai Lama explains how he was attending a formal ceremony to dedicate a new Buddhist temple in the town of Bihar in northern India, which is a densely populated town and is very, very poor town. Now, his friend, the chief minister of the new temple, was speaking at the dedication. And in his speech, this priest, the minister of the temple, said, he expressed his conviction that with the blessing of the Buddha, Bihar would now prosper. Now, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, when he heard this, and it was his turn to get up and speak, he said something very interesting. He said he was part joking. He said, I quote, that if the city's prosperity depended solely on the blessing of the Buddha, it really should have prospered a long time ago. I will read that again. If the city's prosperity depended solely on the blessings of the Buddha, it really should have prospered a long time ago. Because when was the blessing given? Forever. Now we can personalize that. If your happiness... Really? If your happiness depended solely on the blessing of the divine, you should have been happy a long time ago. If your relationship harmony depended solely on the blessing of the divine, you should have been harmonious a long time ago. And so it goes on and on and on. You see, the hidden meaning in this is that the blessing of the divine is already and always given. That's the condition of oneness. What we do with it is personal. What we do with the blessedness of life is how oneness becomes endless variety. And it's for that reason that we do not teach people to ask for God's blessings. It's already given. We don't teach people to seek God's favor. It's already given. We do not teach people to ask for God's approval or healing. It's already given. Instead, we teach people to bring themselves into conscious alignment with the blessedness, the oneness, the holiness, the inclusiveness that is, and to live from that now. You know, to ask, what would this blessedness have me do? What would this wholeness have me be? What would this goodness have me say? And then to use what we have been given in every single moment to do good works in the world, not only for ourselves, but for others too. Then His Holiness goes on to explain why religion alone won't solve our problems. He says, there isn't a good reason for Bihar to be impoverished. Because it's the holiest of Buddhist cities. It's where Buddha was enlightened. We might expect it to be thriving. Yet, he says, what is really needed for change to take place is for good people to put things into action. He's not suggesting that prayers and blessings are useless. Rather, what he's doing is encouraging us to follow up with meaningful, wholesome, healthful, helpful, inclusive action. There isn't a good reason for Bihar to be impoverished. Now, we use good as a synonym for God. There isn't a God reason for Bihar to be impoverished. Now, we can localize that. There isn't a good reason for our country or any country to be, whatever it is, divisive, prejudicial, unjust, vulgar. There isn't a God reason for that. It's optional. And what's needed is for good people to act with meaningful, wholesome, helpful, inclusive action. You know, in Science of Mind, we call prayer spiritual mind treatment. So when we are praying, we say we are treating. And we have this old saying that goes like this: treat and move your feet. To remind us that it is one thing to sit blissfully in the contemplation of oneness, and it's another thing to let the awareness of that oneness inspire my actions in the world. Now, the way our founder said it, and he's quite pointed, he says, I would rather see a student of this science, of this teaching, prove its principle than to have them repeat all the words of wisdom that have ever been uttered. It is far easier to teach the truth than it is to practice it. In other words, to talk about oneness is good. To demonstrate oneness in my actions is even better. Saying such things that we typically say is it's all good, or it's all God, or it's all perfect, whole, and complete is fine. And to prove it is even better. He goes on to say in another place, it is easy enough to rush about shouting that there are no sick people, but this will never heal those who appear to be sick. It is easy to proclaim that there are no needy. Anyone can say this, whether they be wise or otherwise. In other words, here's the message for us: demonstrate oneness by caring about those who don't have enough. Demonstrate oneness by having compassion for those who are suffering. Demonstrate oneness by, for example, supporting such things as steps towards gender equality. That's a really solid example. Demonstrate oneness by whatever it is that you do. And if you want ideas for what to do, go visit the United Nations website and look for the sustainable development goals. There's even a part on there. It's the lazy person's guide to saving the world. Things you can do without even getting up off of your couch, if that's important. Let the contemplation of oneness be in your blood and in your understanding, so that it is not only in your religion, but also in your actions. Because we've got great potential, but unexpressed potential. We've got infinite pathways we could follow. That's the miracle of life. Yet today, many people don't feel empowered. Many people feel frustrated, even powerless today in our nation, of so much wealth and resources. Many people still feel like their vote doesn't even count. Their voice doesn't count. They feel like there isn't anything that they can do that will affect the change in the direction they want to go. And some people say the political system is what's broken beyond repair. I watched a video recently, and I'm so glad I did, because it reminded me not to go down into that darkness. You know, it brought me back into my power and gave me back my sense of hope. And it reminded me that I do have confidence in goodness. I do trust oneness, and I do believe that my mind is a center of divine activity within the one. Now, the video I watched came from an organization named represent.us, like represent us. Now, I don't know enough about the organization, and I won't until I research it further, but I watched the video, and what I liked about the video is that it reminded me that a solution to repair our political system is most likely going to have to include everyone. it can't be a conservative or independent or progressive fix, because it's going to leave whole halves of the nation disgruntled. Now, the organization says it's not focusing on party affiliation. It's focusing plain and simple on anti-corruption laws, getting them passed one city at a time. And here's the thing that inspired me the most about it. The video reminded me that such things as women's rights to vote, interracial marriage, same gender marriage, all of these historic changes in our nation did not start on the federal level. They didn't start with Congress, not in the Senate, House of Representatives, didn't start with the President, didn't start in the Supreme Court. They all started with one state passing a law, and then another state following, and then another, until an avalanche of change changed a whole nation. Oh, I'm not telling you what organizations you should join, but I am saying that for those of us who contemplate oneness, we will continue to feel unsatisfied with a world that works for some. And that oneness contemplation will continue to disturb us into action. And so we've got to be careful to choose action that is helpful, unifying, wholesome, inclusive, compassionate, and not choose action that is hateful, divisive, and disturbing. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, says that the furtherance of our evolution as a species depends on our ability to sense oneness with all life. And that when we really get that, when that knowledge of oneness is embodied and comes to everyone, he says, that's when war will cease. There are his exact words. The furtherance of evolution depends on our ability to sense a oneness with all life. When the knowledge of this oneness comes alike to all, the tread of armies will cease and the bugle call will echo the soft notes of familial love. It's the gender-inclusive version again. So what can you and I do? Well, for a start, you can read Beyond Religion, Ethics for a Whole World. It's very helpful. Number two, you can visit the United Nations, www.un.org, and look at the Sustainable Development Guides, especially the educational units for children 6 to 12 that you can use with your grandchildren or children. Three, you and I can continue to contemplate oneness every morning, especially if we ask ourselves, what would this oneness have me do? And every evening. Four, we can research organizations such as represent.us, for example, and explore ways for us to find our political voices in a way that demonstrates oneness, compassion, and inclusion with excitement and hope. Number five, you can get to know our nonprofit partners when they come and visit us and sign up with them, because aligning yourself with organizations that share your values is stimulating, brings hope. Six, find the young people in your life and ask them what is important to them and what struggles they are facing today. Seven, repeat to yourself like a mantra, I seek the common good. I treat and move my feet. I am guided from within to express my creativity in the direction of the highest good for all. That will help. Now I want to close with a reading from the introduction of the Book of the Month. Here it is. The pressures of modern life bring with them stress, anxiety, depression, and increasingly loneliness. As a result, everywhere I go, people are complaining. Even I find myself complaining from time to time. It is clear that something is seriously lacking in the way we humans are going about things. But what is it that we lack? The fundamental problem, I believe, is that at every level, we are giving too much attention to the external, material aspects of life, while neglecting moral ethics and inner values. By inner values, I mean the qualities that we appreciate in others and towards which we all have a natural instinct bequeathed by our biological nature as animals that survive and thrive only in an environment of concern, affection, and warm-heartedness, or in a single word, compassion. The essence of compassion is a desire to alleviate the suffering of others and to promote their well-being. This is the spiritual principle from which all other positive inner values emerge. And when I read that, I felt a gladness in me for this whole year's program that we have in 2019, and I looked ahead at the affirmative statements that will be guiding lights for us, and they are these. I promote diversity and inclusion. I care for the poor. I protect the vulnerable. I advocate for freedom of thought. I appreciate other nations and people. I love our planet. I cherish the human family, and I stand for spiritually motivated moral leadership. It's a good year. Let us take a moment to turn within. Letting go of everything, all thought. In other words, not trying to force anything in this inner moment of prayer. But letting our thought gently land on this source from which we come, the intimate place where we recognize the divine, life itself, the energy of creation, or whatever name is suitable. I turn to that presence within me so that I may identify my life with its life and understand myself as an expression of it. When I say God is love, I am understanding that the love that pours through me is God in expression. And I celebrate and acknowledge today that even so, I maintain a freedom that allows me to take this life and move it in the direction that I wish. And today I'm feeling the inspiration to move in the direction of inclusivity, honoring oneness, spiritual oneness, while allowing all people to be exactly as they are, while at the same time rising to be an advocate for those who are vulnerable. And I'm shaking away any thought that I am not able, that it is too much. And I'm letting the life that is divine in me guide me, rise up in me, make the way clear, inform me of all the myriad ways that are available for me to take my stand in the community of beings as a presence for inclusion, compassion, and equality. I know that there is no institution, government, nation, religion, idea, concept, or teaching that is large enough to permanently displace the compassionate heart that sings and is alive in all of us. I know goodness always prevails. I know that the truth of oneness is what is guiding, even disturbing us, and so I am welcoming it. I'm letting my voice become clearer and clearer as an advocate for love. And I strip from my consciousness any thoughts of aggression, retaliation, for those moments in history and time where I and humanity have performed in less than ideal ways. I turn a new leaf in this consciousness of mine and reveal a new beginning. And even as I speak these words of prayer, this spiritual mind treatment, I feel the stimulation to move my feet in the direction of that which I have prayed. I know that I cannot effort or force or make anything happen. I know that all things come to pass through the movement of the Holy Spirit, and that I am dancing this dance freely of my own free will and with delight. And for that reason I say, and so it is. I invite you to take a deep breath in with me, followed by a sigh, as we transition to our offering practice, spiritual practice of its own, one that connects us and expands us. Giving is the other end of receiving. Giving is expansive and it is connecting and helpful. And so by doing it, it's a double-edged sword, in that it not only lifts up and supports our center, but it is the way of opening the flow of circulation. I learned that from my grandmother before I even knew about metaphysics, that in times of need, in times of struggle and close down, the solution was to give whatever it was that I could. Whether it was a smile or financial contribution or assistance, you know, time, that it was the dependable and reliable solution to stuckness. I've never forgot that. Yeah. So I invite the ushers to stand. I invite you to take your gift in your hand. If you gave electronically, place your hand on your chest as a symbol of your heart connection to the gift and say, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.